Welcome to the Run Lift Mom podcast, where we're talking about running, lifting, and momming, not necessarily in that order. And today we're going to talk about something that will support all of your running, lifting, and momming. That's nutrition. I have got the gold standard. She's a registered dietitian, Jennifer Latow. She has a practice called A Balanced Life RX, and she is here to talk to us about nourishing our bodies and give us her best tips and tricks. So without further ado, here's Jennifer Latow. All right, welcome Jennifer to the Run Lift Mom podcast. I'm so glad to have you here.
Super happy to be here.
I want you first to dig in. Now, we met a decade ago. We were both working at Gold's Gym together, where you were a very capable personal trainer. Can you tell me how you went from, I think that was fresh off a collegiate athletics career, and now you are a registered dietitian. How in the world did you get from there to here?
Yeah, great question. So actually, it was kind of a long journey. As you know, I swam. I was a competitive swimmer at Southern California. Fight on, Trojans. I got to give my fight on to all my Trojan athletes out there. But so I swam at USC and then actually was really involved into psychology and studied child development and was actually a behavioral therapist for about 5 years before I ended up jumping right into being a personal trainer. So had a little bit of that psych background, definitely needed that. I had my personal training career for probably about 10 years, I would say. And that's kind of when we met. And then it was really the inspiration to become a registered dietitian that developed from my experiences as a personal trainer. So my training clients, would ask me for nutrition advice all the time. But many had medical diagnoses. So I was working with clients who had hypertension, diabetes, obesity. I had many clients who had, certain food allergies and were asking me all these questions. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not equipped, to give them any sort of guidance. I kind of felt uncomfortable. And it was totally out of my scope of practice.
Right. Do you find that a lot of personal trainers are in that? I know that they can get continuing education in the nutrition realm, but let's be honest, continuing education is like an hour-long module and you call it a day. Do you find a lot of personal trainers are in the shoes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a hard line because, at being a health and fitness professional, you want to help your clients as much as possible, but there's a line, and I always say, stay in your own lane. And at the time I just had no clinical knowledge whatsoever to help my clients. So I felt at that time that I would be doing my clients a disservice by giving them nutrition advice without the proper schooling and education and really the medical side of things. Like I was comfortable with giving basic nutrition information in which, us trainers, were able to do. But, there was a fine line. So it was really that moment, those moments where I was like, I can't help my clients any further. So I saw an opportunity to grow and help. So that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to do some research. What can I do? I came across this registered dietitian thing, right? And I was like, well, look, I want to be credible. I want to be reliable. I wanted to help my clients in the right way. And that to me is what I believe was the right way. Right.
Now, is that hard to do? I have to ask you personally, first of all, I have to compliment you on that. Instead of seeing a barrier, you saw an opportunity. So that is something definitely to stop and make sure people hear. But at this point, if I'm doing my timelines correctly, you've got 10, 15 years in the professional world and you're saying, hold on, I'm going to go back. Was that
totally
hard for you?
I was so scared. I was like literally taking a leap of faith. I had a Bachelor of Arts, so I didn't have like a big science background in undergrad. So I was like literally changing careers. I was changing a career path. I was still in the wellness industry. But yes, Susie, it was a 5-year journey. So I spent the first few years, I had to go back, went to Nova, went and did some I had to retake a few classes because I was a lot older and I had already, you know, finished my undergrad. It was like 10 years later. So I had to retake some classes. I had to take some new classes like microbiology and chemistry. But actually, you know what? I did really, really well. And I totally surprised myself. It was an empowering moment, if you will, and was able to apply to a 2-year coordinated program, master's program to Eastern Michigan University, and got in and graduated in 2015 and passed my boards exam that same October to become that, you know, registered dietitian nutritionist. And now actually today I'm celebrating my 3-year work anniversary as a business owner. So it's been a great journey. But yes, it was a lots of tears, you know, a lot of tears, a lot of stress, but it was worth it. It was worth it. It really was.
We are definitely going to get tactical in this episode and have you give us some tips that moms can use. But I have to, for a second here, Jennifer, I have to talk about, I mean, I'm hearing you say pass my boards. I wanted clinical knowledge. Can you explain for folks out there that might not know the difference, what the difference between a registered dietitian or registered dietitian nutritionist is versus a nutritionist?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I get this question a lot and I'm going to be happy to explain the difference. It's a little, there's a lot of information, so I'm going to try my very best to keep it short, but you know, again, like, you know, like we all know, nutrition advice is everywhere now, right? It's on social media, it's on the internet. However, credible advice is not found so easily. Okay. And this is where things can get really a bit dicey. So in my opinion, the big differences lie in the depth, the scope, the length, and the type of formal education and training between the two. So the term nutritionist is not regulated. There's no, so technically anyone can call himself or herself a nutritionist.
So like my degree is in health promotion. I took a nutrition class in grad school.
You're a nutritionist.
I could call myself
a nutritionist. You're a nutritionist, Susie. You okay. are a nutritionist. Yes.
Just clarifying there. Listeners of this show can sense my sarcasm.
Yeah. So so anyone can call themselves a nutritionist and they don't even have to have any formal training. They don't even have to have a degree. No licensing, no certification.
Oh, so I don't even need that grad degree.
No, you don't even.
I could have done this.
You don't even need that grad degree. So it's kind of scary. Okay. That to me is very scary.
Yeah.
However, on the other hand, a dietitian, specifically a registered dietitian. So that's noted by either an RD. You'll see like in my abbreviation, it's Jennifer Littell, RD, or even dietitians can use RDN, which stands for registered dietitian nutritionist. These titles have a specific meaning. Okay. So dietitian nutritionists are trained medical professionals and we provide medical nutrition therapy to individuals, as well as we work very closely with interdisciplinary treatment teams. So as a dietitian, I work with physicians, I work with pediatricians, I work with speech therapists and occupational therapists. I work in an interdisciplinary treatment team to help my clients depending on what that client is going through. Now,
I love that you're, so it's not just the school, it's also what you're able to do as a treatment team. So like when you talked about that personal training client who has hypertension. So for listeners out there that aren't familiar with that term, that's high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. That means you as a registered dietitian can work with that person's primary care manager.
Correct.
On a treatment
Correct.
Plan.
Correct. Right. Their cardiologist, their physician, whoever is on the treatment plan, I can be a part of that if that client chooses so. But in order to earn the RD, right, in order to earn that title requires very specific criteria. So I'm going to go through some things that is you have to get these things. So
and I want people to hear this because I don't think we're going to have too many listeners that are like, ooh, I want to be a RD when I grow up. I think there are listeners out there that are like, I am in the financial position to, and guys, this is not an infomercial for Jennifer, but I think there are going to be people that are like, yo, I'm in the financial position to have someone who is capable help me. And there will be some decision anxiety if they go to the Googles and don't understand what you're about to explain.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for the consumer to understand the difference, okay? If you have a medical condition, if you have specific nutritional concerns, whether that be allergies or deficiencies, or you have issues with malabsorption, you are, I mean, I encourage you to seek out a registered dietitian. And again, as a dietitian, in order to earn that title, we must pass, or we must attend a 4-year college degree. Okay. And that must be from an accredited program. So we have specific coursework, like I was mentioning before, much of the nutrition sciences, we have biochemistry, we have microbiology, you know, and however, this is actually going to change in 2024. All dietitians or who are seeking to be a dietitian actually must require a master's or a doctorate degree. So in order to earn the credential now, it's going to be to even, it's going to go further beyond a 4-year college. Okay.
Great.
Yeah. And it is great because again, we are healthcare professionals and I think people really, they don't understand that. They don't understand that difference.
Right. And we're not poo-pooing on anyone who has
not at all
experience or a personal story, something that a plan that's worked for them, but just, this is a very, very different path than someone that just said, hey, I really like food as a science and hobby.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I went back to school, is because I felt like it was the right thing for me to do to best serve my clients. I wanted to be a credible resource for them. And that's what I believed was the right thing to do. And then second, we must complete 1200 hours of supervised hands-on clinical practice. So that needs to be either through an accredited internship or a coordinated program. Like I had mentioned before, I actually attended a coordinated program. So I had my coursework and my clinical hours with other doctors and other dietitians, worked in clinical settings, worked in the ICU, worked in, you know, outpatient, worked in oncology, worked in many different areas. And then lastly, we have to pass the national board's examination. And every 5 years have continuing professional education requirements. So we are held to a professional code of ethics. There's a lot of things that must be done in order to be a registered dietitian nutritionist. So I wear that title well.
As you well should. On this podcast, we've gone into before, from a fitness or a physical training side, how a certificate means someone attended education. A certification means that they're getting continuing education for their practice. So I think this actually adds on to that clarification that we've made previous. Hey, you got to be a regular listener to this show to get the full picture, but we really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to turn the tables a little bit, because I know people are like, okay, yeah, this is cute. I get it. The gold standard, a registered dietitian nutritionist, is here. Let's get into some tactical information.
Sure.
So, Jennifer, I talked to you about the ideal, you know, I know who my listener is on this show. I know who listens. I know who ideally I want to listen. It is a busy mom. Okay. So what would you say, do you have any, actionable advice or tips for a busy mom who wants to shed some LBs to lose some weight?
Absolutely. You know, and I work with a lot of busy moms. And I would say, like, the first action tip, for all of you out there, is really choosing a plan that is sustainable for you and your life. And I really say for you, right? You got to do what's important for you. And your nutrition protocol should be something you feel really good about sticking to forever. Okay.
Okay.
So really focusing on a plan that is sustainable, low food stress, that you can feel awesome about, and stick to it for the rest of your life.
Low food stress. I think I know what you're talking about when you say that, but can you define that for us?
Yeah, so like food stress. Absolutely. Well, I mean, to be honest, I kind of joke with some of my clients. You know, I've been working with some of my clients for a while, and I ask them, you know, some silly questions. And one is, you know, hey, do you see yourself counting macros at 80 years old, right? And a lot of them laugh. Mm-hmm. I get laughs all the time, and they're like, yeah, absolutely not, right? So in terms of low food stress, you want to be able to work with your plan and understand freedom of flexibility and really look at nutrition as a lifestyle and not like some 3-month quick fix or, hey, a 30-day cleanse. I'm not knocking those things. I'm just saying people tend to go back to old, you know, old habits. So really keeping that food stress down, looking at nutrition as a lifestyle that fits your lifestyle, not your friends, not the, you know, coworker at work, yours, and choose a plan that gives you the most energy, happiness, and of course, optimal health. So that would be awesome. Like my first action tip.
So I hear you saying, like, if someone, for example, is a member of a CrossFit affiliate and January rolls around and there's the Paleo Challenge, it's fine to participate with that with your tribe, but just know that you need to be establishing for the long term, you need to have something that fits your lifestyle. And if that's not Paleo, that's not your forever plan.
Absolutely. And when you look at something, if you look at a plan and say, wow, like, I can't have any bread, but I love bread, or crap, I can't ever have any carbohydrates, but I love fruit, you may really want to run the other way, to be honest, because at that time, you want to find something that's balanced for you and your lifestyle that you can sustain. Because I think it's stressful. When I talk about low stress, I mean, I think it's, and it's very restrictive and deprived, right? If you feel stressed about, oh my God, I can't have fruit, or oh my God, tomorrow, but I'm craving this, or that's not what I mean, right? So you want to have low food stress to where you can have some flexibility, but, you know, obviously something that you can sustain for a long time. And that's what I do in my coaching program. I help my clients find that. Right? Because that's different for everyone.
I love that you're playing the long game. And I like that term, food stress. Okay. So number one is to find something that you can play
you got
long
it.
Game with. What else would you, what else?
Yeah.
Would you recommend?
And then, and then to play off of that, the most important component for success is consistency, right? It's not about being perfect. It's about being consistent. Mm-hmm. So it's like, come January, you're, you know, part of a CrossFit affiliate and you're entering the Paleo Challenge, and is it something that you can be consistent with? Is it something that's a day in, day out thing? So really be, you know, for all you moms out there, be consistent with your positive changes that you're making right now. And just remember to be gentle. I always remind my clients, be gentle with yourself. Hey, we all mess up. We stumble. It's okay. And just pick up and be consistent, you know, maybe with that next meal or that next snack or that next day. It's okay. We're not perfect. We all strive to be. And then that's like in my coaching program, that's what I tell my clients, to just let's focus on one or two action items at a time. The goal is to do these things really well and consistent. And
I love it. You know, I'm a marathon runner. And so something that we'll often say in running circles is consistency, then intensity. Consistency, then intensity. And it sounds like the same can apply in nourishing your
body. Absolutely. Consistency is the most important piece. So finding that sustainable plan that you can be consistent with while maintaining low food stress. That takes time, right? That takes time to achieve. And it's a lot of trial and error with anything.
Right, Jennifer. So I've got it for a busy mom who wants to lose weight. Can you talk to me a little bit about someone who wants to get their family on board with healthy eating?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually do, in my private practice, I work with families. I do a lot of family nutrition. And I also, kind of for fun, I'm very passionate about working with kiddos, and I do after school cooking classes. So with that said, I'm going to tell the moms out there, you got to involve your kids. You got to involve your kids in the whole cooking process. And when I think about family, I think about the kids, because I think that's where moms are like, oh, you know, Johnny is a very picky eater, or, you know, Susie will not, you know, eat her fruit. And what I have found just by, you know, with researching and also working with kids so much, is really involving them in the entire process. So meal planning with them, you know, having them be in some control of that, right? Having them a part of that process, or taking them to the grocery store, which I know can be stressful. I'm not a mom, but I know that it can be stressful with kids running around. But assigning them a job, having them, hey, today, I want you to go pick out some, you know, red veggies today. I want you to pick out one new red veggie. Or maybe it's at home and you give them some of the vegetables to wash under the water. You know, just the process itself can really help ease into that healthy eating transition.
I love that idea. I mean, at home, we have a meal planning board. It's a glorified whiteboard. But what I hear you saying is maybe the kids can help in writing those things on the whiteboard. Maybe yes. I could do some reusable stickers on there. And then real talk. I mean, we are Instacart people. We don't go to the grocery store, but it's That's a missed okay. opportunity. You're right. The kids could be washing fruits and vegetables. Too easy.
Or maybe Susie, even going to the farmer's market, right? That's once a week. If that's an event, kiddos too, you can. And then having them look at and touch and feel, you know, how do you pick out an apple? How do you pick out a bell pepper? And really engaging them, it can really make that healthy eating process a little bit easier.
You know, we have a failed garden. I say it's failed because we had like 5 things planted there last year. And then this year it's a strawberry patch.
Strawberries.
But yeah, exactly. My kids love strawberry. But right? You know what? I will tell you, we've only had this thing for 2 seasons. The kids don't know it's a failure. They understand that food comes from the ground now.
Awesome.
And to be honest with you, it's worth all of the work. It's been worth all of the labor for them to ask questions about other foods, like what comes from the ground. We say if it came from, you know, the ground or had a mama, it's good for you. It'll make you big and strong. But they're really getting that came from the ground piece.
Absolutely. I think having a garden, I think that's probably another tip we can add on. I mean, having a little homemade garden where you can teach the kids that whole process provides an avenue of opening that conversation to fresh fruits and vegetables, and just helping, you know, kiddos, you know, try other colors and other flavors.
Yeah. Okay. So I love these tips that you're giving us, Jennifer, because real talk, I know there are a lot of moms out there that are like, that's cute, involve the kids, but I just can't have the kids in the kitchen as I'm trying to prepare a meal. But you're giving us a lot of ideas for things that they can do outside of that actual, let's put it in the oven.
Yeah. And, you know, make it fun. I'm going to say my second tip for families, make it fun for the whole family. So one thing I really like to encourage my families with is to designate maybe one theme night a month, right? I get it. You guys are busy. It's stressful. You're on the go. But maybe one night a month, you have like a theme night. You know, maybe it's Friday night, you do a Picasso pizza party. And I've had clients do this and it's super, super fun. So you can bring in like different crusts. You use the crust as like the canvas. You know, what kid doesn't like to like paint and decorate and like hands-on finger foods, right? So you get a different crust. Maybe you do whole wheat crust. You know, you say it's a new painting. We're going to do a new painting tonight. We're going to do an experiment. Yeah. Or maybe you bring in cauliflower crust and you teach them it can be a different color or flavor or texture. Like this has been a really big, this is why I'm bringing this up, because it's been a really big success for the kids. And then you use different sauces as the paint, you know, and then you have like the toppings, like the art pieces, and you have maybe a variety of colors and veggies and cheeses and, you know, you name it, anything goes. But that's just one example that I do with my family. So again, make it fun. And that's, you know, parents, adults too, right? So again,
a rad idea. You're planning a party. You're planning a party and like going full force. Mom's
yeah, once
that.
A month, right? We can handle it.
Right. Absolutely. That's awesome. We do taco parties at our house weekly. But I mean, the kids really get behind. There's a book my kids love called Dragons Love Tacos. I'll link it below.
Oh, that's cute.
So we read that book on taco party night. There's a song that we like Alexa to sing to us. And we have our taco party. We actually have decorations.
Oh, my goodness. See, I love that.
Everybody thinks I'm in
there. See, I love that. I think that's great.
Oh, I'm going to send you pictures of our next Picasso pizza party because I love that idea.
Yeah, so really involve the kiddos in the process when you can. And it doesn't have to be the whole process every single time, just picking little processes because you're teaching them. And then make it fun, you know, make it as fun as you can.
I love that. My favorite thing about the advice that you've given us today, not only for moms who want to lose weight, but also for moms who want to involve the whole family, is that this stuff is doable. I know that I've brought on the right person when you're not telling me some pie in the sky tip. There are actionable things that are realistic. Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
All right. Let me give you a couple rapid fires before I let you go, Jennifer.
Ooh, here we go.
I've got to know, we went through your personal story to open this up, but when you were a little girl, perhaps having a taco or a pizza party, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, tacos were actually my favorite food. What I wanted to be when I grew up, I wanted to be an Olympian. I wanted to be, since I was probably 10 years old, I wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. So that is what I wanted to be when I was very, very little. But I kind of always knew, like, as I got older, that I would probably be a business owner. My dad was a business owner. So I just felt like that was cool. But yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, and you went on, like you mentioned, you went on to have a collegiate athletics career at USC. So didn't quite make the Olympics, but what a cool connection when Olympians are your role models as a youngster, what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to travel the world and be amongst, you know, the best of the best was a phenomenal experience, whether I was an Olympian or not. I think it was a win regardless. I had a great experience. Yeah.
Awesome. Love it. Okay. You've got 1 hour to get your sweat on. What is your favorite 1 hour workout?
Yeah. 1 hour workout. I don't have a specific, but I will say it's really got to be anything with like running. Yes. I love burpees. I am crazy like that. I love wall balls and power clean. So kind of anything that involves like one of those things, I am super happy about.
We have found the one person in the world who loves
I love
burpees.
I will tell you that it is the best movement to do if you are on vacation or on a beach or at a friend's house or in a hotel room. You just need your body and you just need to do some burpees and you are good to go. So
I love it. So I'm putting you on the spot here, but as we record this, I'm actually on my family beach.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow morning, I've got 20 minutes or so after my run. With burpees as the movement, what is a workout that I could do with that 20
Absolutely.
Minutes?
So you could do, as you're familiar, like a 20-minute AMRAP, as many rounds or as many reps as possible. You could do burpees in like 3 or 4 different ways, right? So you maybe you can find maybe the doorway in your beach house and do maybe 10 burpees where you're jumping up to the doorway. Maybe you do 10 burpees, and then you jump up on like maybe a stair or a step or a bench that you have somewhere nearby. Or maybe you just do a step up onto the couch. Then maybe you do a burpee with like you add a side plank in there, right? You do the burpee down and maybe you do a side plank and you do that for 10.
Oh.
And then maybe I don't know if you have like a pull-up bar around there or not, but you could, I mean, if do you have any like weights, did you bring any weights with you or a kettlebell or anything like that?
Yeah. You know,
that's why I'm asking. I knew you did. So you could also do 10 burpees with a deadlift, right? So you do the burpee and then you just pick up the kettlebell, set it down and then do another burpee. So something like that. I think that might be a lot of burpees in 20 minutes. I don't even think you need to do 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, real talk, I will do some of this tomorrow, but I wanted to paint a picture for my listeners. And you know, what occurs to me is that you've made it fun, just like you encouraged us to do with our kids and nourishing their bodies. Making it fun is kind of the theme here, be it putting stuff in your mouth or getting your body.
Yeah. You should, fitness and food should be fun. And it's for all ages. Got to bring back the fun, right? Life's too short. Yeah, absolutely.
It. Well, I don't know of a better way to wrap this up. Jennifer, thank you so much. I knew I got the gold standard. And again, as we continue to talk and kind of have this conversation, that was just totally reinforced. Making it fun is a great theme. I'm going to drop your information below if folks want to reach out to you on the socials. And you've got a really great Facebook business page that's worth following for some actionable advice and tips yourself.
Absolutely. Please follow along. I'd love to hear from you guys. If you guys have any questions or anything that I can help with, I would be happy to do so.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, with A Balanced Life RX. I think my favorite part of that conversation was, one, understanding the concept of food stress. I've been victim to it. And then, two, remembering to keep it fun, whether it's for you or your family. Until I get into your earpiece again, remember, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That's from 1 Timothy 4:8, and this has been the Run Lift Mom Podcast. It's time for the Zaya Active item of the week, and I've got the Havana tank. Y'all, this thing is under $30, comes in beautiful colors to complement your summer wardrobe, is nice and light and breathable. Pro tip, you have to size down one in this tank. Another pro tip, you have to wear a bra with this tank because there is some beautiful striped detail with mesh that makes it a little bit see-through. It's a really neat opportunity to show off that all-star or bomber. Click on details, look in the show notes, you'll see item of the week for the new Havana tank. I am beyond excited to announce that Red H Nutrition is an official partner of the Run Lift Mom podcast. I've been a Red H sponsored athlete since November of 2018, which means that I've trained for multiple marathons, 100K trail race, while using these products to supplement my training as well as on race day. And I think that you can take it to the bank. They work. Some of my favorites are Super Greens, Super Flexi, and ZenRem, but you can click on details in the show notes to shop Red H Nutrition and check it out for yourself. Use code RUNLIFTMOM, that's RUNLIFTMOM, just like the name of this show, to save 10%. Again, just click on details in your show notes, shop Red H Nutrition, and then use code RUNLIFTMOM at checkout for 10% off. Thank you for being a Run Lift Mom podcast listener. You guys have been fantastic and helped me grow this show by liking, subscribing, and sharing the episodes with your friends. I want to reward you for that. To celebrate my year anniversary at Zaya Active, I am launching an ambassador program. This is essentially where you can help me share the Run Lift Mom brand, including the podcast, and get rewarded with some serious perks. It's a pilot right now, and real talk, I am looking for people who are different than myself. I want people that do different things for activity than I do, that look differently than I do. Maybe you even have a different scenario day to day than I do. That's good. I want to help share this show, share the Zaya Active brand. What you're going to do is click on details. You'll see a hyperlink that says Become an Ambassador, and you can get in touch with me for more information.